You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. We are coming to you live from our studio here on 200 Colonial Heights Road.
Our slowly evolving studio.
It's getting there.
This is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Rader. Nope.
Been called worse.
I know for a fact he's been called worse today.
This is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett. Sorry for messing up your name, Peter.
That's fine.
I feel it like happens. Out of everything that could get messed up today, that shouldn't have been it.
Well, you used to write stuff down and you haven't lately, so
we
you're going to mess
well,
up every now
and maybe
then.
We're getting a little too cocky. Maybe it's time to go back to the script.
We have to start planning things again.
Planning takes too much effort.
Well, the first time Josh and I did one of these, it was very planned out.
It was. It was so strategic. We had it down to the minutes. There were minutes down on the calendar like a storyboard.
Yeah, and I bet it felt horrible to do.
Oh, no. I thought the first one was... It was okay.
It was a little uncomfortable.
It came out all right.
It came out right. This one, I like it when we get to know what we're talking about the morning of. That's my favorite.
Keeps you on your toes.
It does.
Keeps you on your toes. We haven't done this in a little while. We had a lunch and learn, so we've been a little busy.
Had a great turnout for the lunch
great
and learn.
Turnout great turnout for the lunch and learn. I clearly can't talk today. I'm out of practice.
It's not an important quality for a podcast.
It's really
person.
Not. I'm just here to keep things held together, but
doing a great job.
We had a packed house. We had a packed house at our lunch and learn. It was about 24, 25 people total, including us. So there's a lot of people to have in that little space out there, but it was incredibly well attended. So I think we're making I've kind of spearheaded the number 20 as kind of the cutoff limit for RSVPs moving forward.
Yeah, unless it warms up and we can get outside and use the rooftop space, 20 is probably the max. Now, if there's incredible demand, you know, I've had this, it suggested to me that we could have two in one day.
Ooh,
and do the same program in the evening and as a, the name that was thrown out there was Wine and Wisdom versus Lunch and Learn. So, you know, we could do a second one, but we would need tremendous amount of demand before I would jump off that cliff.
We might be a little loose at Wine and Wisdom.
me and Joshua can handle the wine part if you do the wisdom part, Peter.
Yeah, if you can take care of wisdom, we got the rest.
It's like the late show for comedians. They're always like, don't come to the 9 o'clock show on the last day of a comedian set because it's going to just be completely loose. But
yeah.
Well, and a small plug, we do have another Lunch and Learn on March 19th.
We do. Taxes.
Tax time in Tennessee. So we're going to try to... you know, give some, I know there's a lot of moving parts on the tax side of things, coming up this year and for the years to come for people to kind of be aware of. We're going to have Robert Ingram, who is our general counsel, tax advisor, kind of step in and give some information on, you know, things to look for, things to be aware of. So,
and he's our guru when it comes to taxes.
He is a guru. He's a guru. He's fun. We utilize Robert a whole lot, and he's also very good for office banter as well. So don't tell him I said that. I don't want to boost his ego. We try to keep him beat down. We don't want him.
Well, you can't let lawyers get too big of a head.
Yeah, we try to keep him beat down. We don't want him getting too confident and cocky on us. But March 19th, if you would like to RSVP for that, just email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. It is first come, first serve, and we've already got, I think, 3 people signed up.
Okay,
nice.
So 3 of 20. So get your seats now. We won't even charge you.
Yeah, we'll feed you.
We'll feed you. I was talking at the beginning of the Lunch and Learn. It did feel a little sales pitchy, I think. But then we kind of broke the ice, and everyone seemed, you know, pretty relaxed after
I thought
that.
It went well. Just, I think that was mostly in your head, though.
Yeah, it was just hard to start things like that. You know, it's like, what do? Do I ring a bell? Do I blow a whistle?
Do I sit? Do I stand up in front of
what
everybody?
What do I do with my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands.
You just start.
I was going to say, Peter that walks up has zero issue.
Yeah, I know.
I've done enough of these things now where, you know, I have zero problem going and talking in front of groups. Absolutely zero problem. Now, you put me into the same situation, same number of people, and say, hey, go socialize and be friendly. And then I'm going to be like, I don't know what to do here. But if I have to just talk about something that I know about, normally you have to just get me to shut up. So I'm trying very consciously through these lunch and learns to have pauses where I'm like, somebody ask a question. Otherwise, like,
I'm just going
to
keep going.
I'm going to keep going, and I may barrel past something that somebody wants to know about.
See, I'm kind of the opposite. I love one-on-one conversations, but the moment you put me in front of multiple people, I just can't put words together half the time. So I'm working on that.
Well, evidently, when you put me in this room with you all, I can't put my words together either because I keep messing them up.
I'm just making mental notes for performance review.
Yeah. That's fair. It's totally fair. All criticism, bring it on. I can take it.
I promise you. Actually, we're friends, and that's not the case.
Well, we had an idea a few episodes back to do what I'm referring to as a time capsule. I don't know if that's really a great term for it because obviously you bury time capsules. We're clearly not going to go out and bury some predictions, but I thought it would be fun for us to make a few predictions for 2024. And I know that, yes, it's February. We're already 2 months in, but listen, we got things going on, okay? We're busy.
It's easier this way that we have one less month to worry about.
Right.
I think it's going to be the Chiefs and the 49ers in the Super Bowl this year.
Oh,
okay.
You may be right. That's what the NFL wanted. So that's what everybody's saying. It's a big conspiracy, like it's all rigged, and that's what I meant by that.
Well, the logo of the Super Bowl wasn't aligned with that. That was the big theory. You know, some of the conspiracy theorists had gone back, and the logo of, I think, what is it, like the last three Super Bowls has been the colors of the two teams that have played in it. Mm-hmm. And so there were thoughts that it was going to be the 49ers, but the Ravens, because there's purple in this logo.
Okay.
Chiefs decided that they weren't having it.
So Brian's like, please, God, move on from this.
I looked up Monday to see who won the Super Bowl and found out it's this coming Sunday, so I'm just going to... I was like, why is no one talking about the Super Bowl today?
I'm excited. I'm a Chiefs fan pre-Taylor Swift.
Right.
So... I've got some friends who are out there and are big Chiefs fans. A lot of Tennessee players have gone through the Kansas City Chiefs, so they've been my team since Peyton Manning hasn't been around. But I am kind of drawn to the 49ers. I would love Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy to be a Super Bowl champion. I just think that that would be an awesome story.
That would be kind of cool. You're right. And I tell my son this, too. I feel like Patrick Mahomes has been really whiny this year. He's done something. He's very diva-esque this year, so I don't like that. That's what it is. But anyways, here we go. 2024 predictions / time capsule AFI advisors. Who wants to get us started? I don't have like a rhyme or reason of how we do this. I've got two. Brian, how many do you have?
I have three.
Three, Peter?
Four.
Overachiever.
I didn't know how many we were going to need. Now, they're not all like market relevant. Some of them are, you know.
That's
your
right.
Super
so
Bowl
this,
one
no, it
okay.
wasn't.
Okay, so
thank
he has
you.
Five.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Some of these, you know, finance related, some not. I'm open to whatever. I just think it'd be really interesting to see. So,
Peter, you go first. You got one extra than I do.
Well, I'll go so that we can maybe be more serious down the road. I went with a sports one just because I knew it would upset Brian.
If you say mine right now, I'm going to be so mad.
So I've got Shohei Ohtani hitting 75 home runs and breaking the Barry Bonds / Babe Ruth / Roger Maris or whoever you want to give the home run title to.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have, with him not pitching for the Dodgers, with him making, you know, what is it, 2 million real money and 68 fake money or deferred money. I think he's got a shot if he just focuses on hitting. And I think that would be really good for the sport of baseball to get away from, you know, what who actually owns the record with the whole steroids thing with Bonds and everything else.
Well, I could definitely see that. And Brian, to clue you in, this kid is... He pitches and hits, which is in itself.
Yeah, I played Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball. So you know, yeah.
Okay, but he does it. He does it. He does both to a level that is absurd.
Okay,
they've had to create rules for him.
Yeah, he's been like that's kind awesome. Of free. And really, there's not really been that dominant of a person like maybe Babe Ruth, because Babe Ruth pitched
right.
and you know. Knocked the crap out of the ball. So, I mean, we've not had this in a really long time. So it's really fascinating cool. to yeah. watch, but
he would be the highest paid pitcher in the league or the highest paid hitter.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So he's your designated signed a hitter pitcher, really huh? weird contract with the Dodgers in the off season. What is it? It's 10 years, $700 million or something like that. But he only gets $2 million a year while he's actually playing, and then he's deferring $68 million to when he's no longer a California resident and will be paying a lot less taxes.
Yeah. So we might have a new Tennessee resident coming in the next few years, huh?
Yeah.
Bryce Harper's moving in Tennessee, yeah. so yeah.
Hey, a lot of people are moving yep. here. And it's because you save money on taxes.
Save money on taxes.
Well, I think that's a great prediction. I could see that happening. I'm like so excited. I've got to do mine. I got to do one. I'm like really chomping at the bit here. I predict in the year 2024 that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce will break up.
And she'll write a song about it.
And here's why I say that.
I'll take the other side of that trade.
Here's why I say that. I did my homework. I see you, Taylor. I see you. So here's the thing. Starting in since 2008, Taylor Swift has had 12 boyfriends publicly. I don't know what she does behind the scenes, right? They average generously. This is a generous average. They average a year each. There was one dude in like 2017 that made it like 4 years. And that was pretty impressive. So I'll give her props to that. And listen, I ain't out here giving no relationship advice, clearly. I think anybody listening to this knows that I'm not. So, but she started seeing old Kelce in July of 2023. So they're about to be climbing up on a year, and it's going to be time. It's time.
For a ring.
He's not going to do that.
I'm a big Kelce fan. I love the brothers. I love everything about it. The whole Taylor thing, I think, is fun. You know, who knows? Who cares? But to me, I'm putting them together for the long haul. I'll take the other side of that trade.
With all of this sound investigating, I've
done. Well, you've got to go through all the stuff that you don't want to find what you do want. And they seem happy, and I'm rooting for happiness.
I think...
Don't fight love, Josh.
I just think it's gotten too big for them. I don't know. I mean, she historically breaks up with people and writes songs about them. And she announced... you know, new record and maybe who knows what for the future. So if you are a Taylor Swift fan and you're really all about this relationship, I apologize.
I do think it's funny that all of our elementary school math has come back out though for the Super Bowl, because she's got that tour over in Japan and like all these word problems are like, if Taylor leaves Japan at 9 a.m. Japanese time, and the flight is this speed going this, you know, and the Super Bowl starts at this time, how soon does Taylor need to leave?
Whatever you need to do to teach people math, it works. We'll take it. Yeah.
This is the new Common Core. Yeah. We're just going to teach everything with Taylor Swift.
It's like that Office episode where Kevin can't do any math unless it's talking about pi.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
What's 4 pi's divided by 2 pi's, Kevin?
Well, Brian, you're up. So far, we've got Ohtani and Taylor Swift.
I didn't know we were being fun. I'm sorry. Mine's maybe more like finance-y.
None of the rest of mine are fun.
Brian's going to... Just water it all down.
So I think artificial intelligence is going to hit the healthcare field, and we're going to start seeing AI doctors. Ooh. or at least that's going to be a major thing of conversation in 2024.
Like consulting?
Full-fledged trying to be doctors. However, I want to go even further and say they're also going to be more accurate than real doctors and maybe even nicer to deal with. But it's not going to catch on because the lawyers aren't going to figure out how to sue people for malpractice through it.
We're heading that way.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. I was looking for some AI stories, and I had the thought process that somebody was going to marry an AI thing the first time. Actually happened last year.
I was late on that.
But I do think...
what?
Yeah, you can Google it. There's a lady... So there's two different stories that if you Google AI marriage... There's a lady who has, quote-unquote, married her AI boyfriend, which she created through the various apps, and has AI children with said boyfriend.
Okay.
She interacts out in public as if she's married and has these children, and they have done these events together, and it's all there. It's probably coming, especially like with the new Apple goggles. They're going to get even better and better. But then there's also, here in 2024, there's a lady who is marrying an AI hologram. There's going to be an actual service with a hologram of an AI. It's mid-year 2024. and that's where I think, you know, getting back to what Brian's saying, you could have a hologram AI doctor who would diagnose your things. Now, I do think that the first thing that you will see will be the less technical things. So like a therapist or thing that you're just...
Or prescribing a drug that you've already been prescribed and you're just needing to react.
That's kind of what I was thinking with the consulting. I could see something where you typed in certain symptoms or you typed in whatever and it consulted back to you on what to do and or prescribing whatnot.
Right. Yeah. I initially thought that maybe an NGO would come in and go to like an impoverished country that they don't have access to doctors, but they have smartphones and start trying to get them healthcare that way. And it kind of evolved into what I called.
I think it'll happen. It's a natural progression.
I want to invest in cybersecurity after your story, though. I don't want the kids hacked and... this lady's AI children just hacked.
Well, now I've gotten a glimpse of my AI healthcare and my AI dating. So
there you go.
Well, Amazon, both sound kind of miserable.
You've got healthcare. You've got healthcare through like Amazon Prime now.
Yeah.
It's like $9 a month or whatnot. You
Josh
can have
Josh canceled his Prime.
I canceled my Prime and I will never get it back.
How about you?
Sounds like there's a story there, but
there's not really much of a story.
There's a little bit of a story there. But I feel like I'm going to have a Larry David moment. Like I'm going to tell my story and it's
you're going to strangle Elmo on live TV.
But
second prediction as Josh strangled.
I heard him try to explain why he strangled Elmo on TV. And like, it didn't make any more sense than watching
the actual
it.
Thing.
Yeah. So who knows?
Well, Brian, that was a good one. I have an AI one, but it wasn't that.
Okay.
Heck so, yeah. Peter, you're next up in the rotation.
I've got the prediction that you're going to see a heavy sell-off of Disney assets in preparation of them being bought by someone like Apple.
Ooh. Really? Disney? You think... I would see Disney as puffing out their chest and being the ones like buying people.
Well, they have the content, but they don't have the best distribution... When you compare it to like Google and Apple and
what
Microsoft.
About Microsoft? Microsoft and Disney would be interesting. They're both very big into the intellectual property.
But nobody wants the parts of Disney that they shouldn't have acquired. So, you know, like ESPN is part of Disney. It's successful, but it's not, it used to be like 50% of Disney's profits. That's come way down. So I think if you start to see Disney sell off very heavily the assets that they don't want, like out of their Fox deal, out of ABC, ESPN, those type things. When you get into that streaming war, Disney Plus with Disney content, very valuable.
Yeah.
A lot of the ancillary stuff, probably not. So what I think you could see is them bundle up a whole bunch of that other stuff put the debt along with it and sell it off to private equity or sell it off to, you know, various entities, and then make themselves extremely attractive for purchase by a Microsoft, by a Amazon, something like that. Because basically right now you've got Amazon Prime, you know, streaming, you've got Netflix streaming as powerhouses. Yeah. Apple TV is growing heavily. Disney Plus / Hulu, which they own, is would fill a big part that Apple doesn't have.
And Microsoft.
Right. And so I think that could be a thing. And nobody's got the parks, but the parks are so separate from the other items. And Bob Iger has a history with Apple. He was actually on Apple's board prior to Steve Jobs coming back onto the board. So there's just a lot of connections there. It's been talked about in the past. I think this is the year that you start to see that happen. I think that might have been why he was brought back.
I like that. That's a cool call.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but now that you explained it
I like that.
It kind of does make sense. I just wouldn't have thought that. No.
If you look at the market size too, they are so much smaller than like Apple and Amazon and some of these big tech companies. And those companies have so much cash.
And they have it set aside to buy places like that. So, that follows, that lines up.
I'm going to drop my second and final 2024 prediction. And listen, this is not by lack of trying. Like, I tried.
We still got nine. We wanted around nine.
Yeah, I just couldn't, you know, there were a lot of things that just seemed kind of goofy. Yeah. And I was like, you don't really want to.
I had ChatGPT write mine. No.
Of course he did. No, after I just praised him for his great work.
That's why I came up with the AI thing first. Yeah,
So here's my AI one. I have that AI will find a way, or let me rephrase that. Someone
Jeff Goldblum over here.
Clear your throat, Brian.
Life
will find a way.
Someone will find a way, rather, to use AI to incredibly disrupt the presidential election.
Ooh, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And
in other news, he thinks the stock market's going to move.
In like, wait, no, this is like things that we've not
I like that. That's seen a cool one.
Before.
I think the risk of the quote-unquote deep fakes and who said what is real, what isn't real.
Because you can make it look like anybody said anything in person, live, whatever.
Yeah, I think that there's a tremendous amount of ability. And we've already seen how misinformation or even good information can spread like wildfire across the internet. It's going to be interesting. The election and I forget what it was, but I think it was going into the last election even. They were talking about how 15 of the most pro and con of some particular issue Facebook pages were actually Russian bots.
Oh, yeah.
And so just stirring up the pot and making things bad. You add AI on top of that where it seems like somebody actually said something, or the fact that it can just generate this stuff so much faster.
Oh, yeah.
And make it plausible.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. You know, there was an article, I don't know if you guys saw it the other day or not, headline news, picking your nose leads to Alzheimer's.
Dead I did serious. Not see this, yeah.
And what it was there was a study done where basically some scientists postulated and, you know, had a theory that by introducing extra germs into the nose led to more inflammation over time. More inflammation leads to blah, 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 which leads to, you know, eventually gets to Alzheimer's, right? But the way it went around, the headline was enough that, you know, it caught fire and went a little bit viral. So you add the political element and people who want to believe certain things.
We have that confirmation bias.
It will spread like wildfire. I think you're right on.
Ooh. Brian,
I'll go to the next one.
Give us one more.
At least one country will pilot or implement blockchain-based voting systems to enhance transparency, security, and accessibility in elections. And that country will not be the United States.
Why not?
I think that'll happen. And I think that I think that there's a definite advantage to getting more people to vote by making it easier on them to where they can vote from their homes or their pockets. And if they can secure that and make it safe...
I just don't know how to do it.
Well, I don't know how they make it safe now. I don't really understand that either.
I mean, people swear up and down every year that people cheat going to the polls. Somehow there's intercepted. There's right. something. Could you imagine if people were just sitting at home, like on their phone voting? It would be...
Well, I mean, mail-in ballots became weird thing in the last election. Those have been around since forever.
Mm.
So I don't really know. I know the Thailand Democratic Party tried to do something with it in 2018. So that's kind of what I was basing that off of.
Gotcha.
Trying to figure out how someone would make voting like that more secure, and blockchain seems to make more sense.
I have no idea, so I'm not even no comment.
We'll get there eventually. I'd love to just make our election day a national holiday, so we don't have to stay up till
or make it
midnight.
Like, make it like a week. I mean, it takes a month to figure out the results anyway. Just give everybody a week. Anytime during that week, you're able to go vote. Do it.
Yeah.
Just make it easier for people. If you want people to vote, don't make it harder on them.
Well, but that's the thing.
Well, not everybody wants everybody to vote.
On both sides. That's not a political statement. It's just like, this system has been manipulated for so long that they know how to manipulate this system. So if we put something new in, then all sorts of craziness could happen.
Yeah. That's why I don't think the U.S. is going to do it anytime soon.
No, no chance.
Peter, you have another 2024 prediction.
Well, I guess I've got, if my math in my head is right, I've got the last two that are sitting there.
I've got
one
left.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do an easy one. I'll save the other one for if we do another one.
Grand finale.
Yeah. I think that the Dow Jones breaks 40,000.
Okay. I like that one.
You know, we celebrate these big numbers. 40,000 doesn't mean any more than the 38,500 that were
around. I like
but,
that.
But, you know, I still remember when Dow broke 10,000 and the party hats that were made and the fanfare. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. You know, March of 2006, we were at 6,600, you know, after being at 14,400. So 40,000 on the Dow by the end of the year would indicate, you know, a positive move from here. I think it's doable. I think it would be something to kick off next year with.
Mine's similar. I think Microsoft is going to finish the year around 479, 480. So that's about 28% up from here.
Yeah. Microsoft has clearly taken the lead in AI.
Yeah.
And they're now, what, like 7.5-8% of the S&P 500 because of it?
Yeah, 8%-ish, I think.
Yeah, so...
They must have been doing all that in the background while Apple was making smartphones.
Now, Apple's really big into Flash. Microsoft's more...
And everybody's like, you know, Microsoft, you don't have any... Like, keep making those Google phones and blah, blah, blah.
The Zune.
Yeah, the Zune.
I forgot about the Zune.
And they're over here... You know, churning on AI while Apple's releasing a phone every 6 months.
I love that in Guardians of the Galaxy, was it 2, they give Peter Quill a Zune because that's what everybody on Earth is listening to their music on to replace his Walkman. But, you know, Microsoft is just going to continue. What I'll be really interested in, Brian and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, this may be a more like in the next couple weeks. They may announce that they're not making another console ever again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's starting to be some leaks out there that Xbox One S or Series S is the last physical console out of Xbox.
Which is interesting because how many like video game companies they've bought recently. So I would imagine they're still going to stay in the video game development. The software side of
right.
it. But maybe ditch the hardware.
Well, and they've moved a lot of their stuff to Game Pass, but they just bought Activision Blizzard.
Right.
But they're starting to allow all these games on PlayStation, which you never... I mean, that'd be like coming to...
Sega.
PlayStation.
Yeah. So it's just not going to happen normally. So
you don't typically buy out a company to get its intellectual property rights and then turn around and let other people use it.
Right.
So it's interesting.
They're going to make a bunch of money. They'll do it well.
Yeah, they will.
Well, have we reached a point where, I mean, consoles are kind of tapped out? I mean, can you really do that much more with a console? It's all... Seems like it's all software... Cloud
well, and Microsoft has rolled out cloud gaming, very heavily, you know, with their most recent things. So let's say you have the newest MLB game or whatever you have, you know, you might be able to just turn that into a cloud gaming app on a smart TV with a controller that connects to your smart TV.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And you just buy the games online or pay Microsoft their $15 a month and have access to their games. No, I've been thinking that that was originally I thought it would just incorporate it into the TV, but now Wi-Fi and everything, it's going to be in the remote.
It'll be in the remote.
You have to have that input to be able to do it, so you can't get rid of the remote.
So this one, you know, I'm not a political guy, but I do, you know, find it extremely interesting. I think in the election, regardless of what happens in the presidency, I wanted to go away from that because that's just a third rail. I think you're going to see both houses or both sides flip. So I think you're going to see the Senate go Republican and you're going to see the House go Democrat.
Okay. What made you think that?
It's a bad map for Democrats with who's
falling off,
who's falling on.
Okay.
You've already had a lot of people announce that they're not coming back. And I think it's easier to win a House seat than it is to win a Senate seat. So I think you're going to see that and people are going to get all excited that one side or the other is going to have all of it. And then we're going to be exactly where we are right now, just with differing parties on differing sides.
Yeah.
So
it's nice for the economy.
You know, it's just going to change who you see on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was my last one is that, yeah, you're going to see a tremendous amount of movement and it's going to be one of those things that both sides flip. And then the presidential election will be interesting.
I thought Peter was about to give us a presidential prediction.
His prediction is that this election's going to be interesting.
You know, don't sleep on Robert Kennedy. His numbers are actually really interesting in a three-way race. It's basically a third, a third, a third in people under 45 right now on the polls. So that could dramatically alter how this election plays out.
Any of the younger generation, Gen Z and Alpha that are starting to be able to vote, and they're actually politically active, where millennials just weren't.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a fascinating one if we get there without too much disruption, i.e. we have Nikki Haley versus Gavin Newsom. You know, one of those things where like Biden doesn't run and something because of something at the convention and Trump's not allowed to legally. And all of a sudden you've got a weird ticket that nobody's been kind of looking at. But
less dirt
I guess that would be the prediction is that Robert Kennedy Jr. plays the Ross Perot role.
You heard it here, folks.
But what's really interesting is clearly Ross Perot was going to take votes away from George Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea whose votes
it could go either.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to take from. Because there's things on both sides that, you know, independently minded people identify with him. And then there's some crazy stuff with him, some conspiracy theory things with him. But he could legitimately take votes from both sides and make this whole thing very, very crazy.
That would be wild.
Well,
I've enjoyed this. It's going to not be as much fun at the end of the year when we were just wrong about everything.
Right. So, yes, that is the 2024 predictions from your team here at AFI Advisors. Yeah, well, I figured, you know, maybe that, you know, we got some downtime. That first week of the new year is kind of a quiet time.
Yeah.
Might be good to rehash this and see who was right.
Yeah.
Lord willing that we're still here. There was a lot of doom and gloom in there. So
what did you expect? You heard our other podcasts.
I said the stock market was going up.
I know. You know? I said Microsoft's going up 28%.
Well,
the rich are getting richer.
Yeah, the rich are getting richer, and the poor might get AI doctors.
Well, this was fun. Thank you all for indulging me on this. I know that this was something that was just kind of blurted out in one of the episodes, and then I've had a couple people actually ask me about it. It's like, okay, I guess we got to really do it now. It's one of those things where I was like, oh, people will forget we even mentioned that. They won't.
Send your predictions in. We'll give you credit.
That would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, just, you know, let's keep, we will, you know, we'll announce respectable ones. Don't get too crazy. This is a family show. Sitting the Joe Rogan experience.
So bring up Taylor Swift and her personal life, Josh.
I'm going to get a thousand emails about.
We're just trying to capitalize on it. We'll put Taylor in the headline of the thing for clickbait.
It's called Riding Coattails, and we will do that.
I can't believe you said they were going to break up.
No, Dolly Parton's going to officiate the wedding. And then she'll come on the podcast to tell us about it.
So,
we're still working on building that relationship. Peter.
So
we haven't given up
if
on
you,
it.
If you are upset with my Taylor Swift predictions,
and think I'm right,
please email me at brian@afiadvisors.com, and we will be sure that those get to the appropriate person. But thank you all for hanging in there with us. This has been fun, and we will see you guys next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.
For more awesome content, like and subscribe now.